You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Oh yeah. Welcome back to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I'm joined by the internet sweetheart. I'm talking, of course, about 365 Days of Horror, or as we'll call him, Jordan. How's it going, Jordan?
I am ready for this lifetime of a year to come to an end.
Yeah, it's any day now, and as soon as it's done, everything will get better.
Like a miracle, it will just go away.
Yeah, it's, you know, when you roll over your odometer in your car, it's, you know, suddenly your car's better. Hey, we've also got Brennicide with us. Brennicide, how are you?
Right. It's not the fact that we are living in just economically an unviable situation like we shouldn't have been for the last several decades. And climate change is very real, and it's a rolling train that really has no way of stopping.
You're really going to fucking just pile this on me in the first 30 seconds of this show?
Yeah.
We're getting it out of the way now.
It's the bad boy in me, man. I can't help it. Yeah, man, everything's terrible. And, you know, what's going to be just immense for me is watching in Times Square when just piles and piles of sneezing, just gasping idiots are just all over each other in Times Square, just watching the ball drop, saying, "Yay, it's finally over."
You know, I didn't once think about that, the New Year's Rockin' Eve celebration, until you brought it up just now. But I imagine that's going to happen, isn't it? It's going to be like an unofficial celebration thing. So, you know, people might not necessarily have to wear adult diapers because they don't need to stand in place all night. They can move and shit in the alley and go right back because it's not not strictly enforced this time. But yeah, it's going to be a big celebration, isn't it?
It's just like if you put a bunch of chimpanzees in a room with Christmas decorations and you set off an explosion in the middle of the room, any primate really, doesn't have to be chimpanzees, they would scatter, they would run away, they would leave the danger. But you put a bunch of soccer moms with box blonde hair in the same room with Christmas decorations, and you light out the same explosions, they will burn fucking alive while saying, "But it's Christmas! This is a tradition! We have to have Christmas!"
I think you're right. I think you might be onto something there. I have never attended the New Year's Eve celebration in New York due to have never been to New York. Have either of you been, or do you at least know somebody who has done it?
I know someone who's done it.
Been to New York?
Tell me everything about this person.
I think they do things on a whim and don't think things out. And he's the same type of person who, like, would go to Black Friday at like 4 a.m. to get a coat.
Oh, same person. Just this. It's just, if you do that, you're dumb. You've been dumb. Like, I look at the New Year's Eve thing, and if it was like 2016, I would have looked at that and been like, yeah, I'm not going to that because I don't want to catch a disease. Like, already that's something that I don't want to happen based completely off what I'm seeing on the television. But
I think it's like people who have not a lot of excitement in their life, but they watch a lot of TV and movies and consume media and think going to something like this that they've seen for years is going to be some sort of magical event, and not standing in the middle of a street desperately having to go to the bathroom, but you can't because you're surrounded and stores won't let you in.
I just want this to be the one time that the overfunded NYPD military superpower takes out the fire hoses and the batons and the gas grenades. This one time, I really want them to do the crowd control thing to these fucking idiots in New York.
Just wailing on Carson Daly.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I would... I'd be in support of funding the police if they take it all out specifically on Carson Daly. No, I think that's interesting, though. I mean, theoretically, the country is filled with people exactly like that. And I guess I just I if I know these people, they're not outright with like what they're into, which is, I guess, CBS dramas mostly.
It's like the CW is a channel that just never gets changed in these households.
It sounds awful. I remember years ago somebody sent around, it went viral, like the reservation and tasting menu at the Times Square TGI Fridays for New Year's. Like you gotta pony up like $500 a person to sit in the Olive Garden or whatever fucking chain restaurant is in Times Square so that you have access to a bathroom. Otherwise,
so I'll tell you, all of them are in Times Square. All the chain restaurants, as much Bubba Gump shrimp as you can handle.
I think that's actually the case with every major regional tourist trap. That, you know, there may have been a local delicacy there one time ago, but in the last 30 years, they've all slowly become the same thing. Like if you've ever been to Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco, I mean, there's the biggest structure there is a fucking Joe's Crab Shack.
I mean, before the 90s, Times Square was a dangerous, seedy place that you would not bring your families to. And then when Giuliani came into power, he shipped all the homeless out of town and put in, like, the Disney store and Nike World.
I mean, it's tough to say if that's an improvement or not. I know that, like, it was a big... kind of like a red light district in a way there.
Yeah, I mean, if you see any movie that took place in the 70s in New York, it's a good idea of what it was. It was strip clubs, porn shops, adult movie theaters, anything you want you can get, and that's not what it is anymore.
That sounds better than having the goddamn M&M store. I don't know. Maybe that's just my perspective on it. People with families, they probably disagree. But I mean,
it's a different type of hell.
Yes, that's fair. That's fair. We couldn't have a middle ground. You had to either, have your dangerous sex crime alley, or you had to have, the corporate board that's taken over every bit of real estate in the country. I don't know. It's a tough call. Tough call. Anyway, listeners, if you... Rockin' Eve this year, you know, be sure to report in. Let us know how it went.
Let us know what it's like to dress up in matching pajamas with your family to take pictures at Christmas.
Yeah, I guess that's a thing, too.
Because those are the same people, right?
They just shared pajamas, just the same unwashed pajamas that they've been wearing for years. Yeah, we don't have to talk about...
I do have one last thing, just because it popped in my mind, if that's okay. Please. I went to a New Year's Eve party a few years ago. They had, fucking Carson Daly on the TV, and he was like, and now Fall Out Boy. And I just had this bizarre moment where I was like, huh, that's the guy from Race Traitor who occasionally played in Vegan Reich on the drums on rockin' New Year's Eve. Like, I wonder what's going through that guy's mind right now.
His paycheck, probably.
Yeah, that's totally it.
And his crappy side band with Scott Ian.
Oh, right. What was that band called again?
Crooked Vultures? I'm envisioning like Dead Presidents or something. They got like the fucking guy from Every Time I Die as a singer. Are you sure it's not them, Crooked Vultures?
No, because
that
one...
The Damn Things.
Same thing.
Same nothing name for a same nothing side band.
Same garage jam band of a bunch of bored millionaires who don't have any chemistry with each other.
It's the chicken foot of vegan straight edge. Anyway, we can move on now that we got one dig in.
There's a guitar in here somewhere, so now we're in the context of the show.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how far we're into the show now. We did our duty. We checked the box.
Right. Now, usually what we do at these end-of-the-year shows, the final show of the year, I believe that's what this is. It's what it has to be. The math makes sense, okay? Usually what we end up doing is we go through all of the news stories that we missed, some of the real juicy ones. Sometimes we manage to dig up some stuff that's really great, and we try to kind of bring it up to you guys and share our opinions on that. Not a lot for metal news this year. But I think we managed to find some things, right?
Yeah, we found some things that are, pretty interesting, depending on whatever perspective you want to use on that. I would like to note that considering 10 months of the year were canceled, it's a little bit tougher to... little bit tougher to find things to work with.
Yeah, but, it's deleted from history.
Yep. There are some things that did happen that I would be absolutely ashen-faced if we neglected.
Yeah, completely remiss. So what do we got? What are some of the 2020 highlights that
I think
didn't hear about?
The best news story of the year actually happened a couple of days ago. And Jordan, do you want to lead us into this one?
Well, Christmas came early for some of us.
First day of Hanukkah present.
Yep.
It was a real barn burner of a story. I mean, it just lit my world on fire.
It grafted the skin onto my very body.
Burnt up the charts. Convicted attempted wife murderer Tim Lambesis of Ezele dying suffered burns to 25% of his body in a bonfire mishap.
I've said this on the show before that I felt just a total disconnect from metal in general, the metal community, whatever the fuck you want to call it, when As They Lay Dying made their triumphant return and were selling out shows and hitting the tops of the charts with their latest record after reforming after Lambesis went to prison. And I was just like, I have nothing in common with anybody in this world that they can just get on with, you know, this this bullshit band after all of this and pretend that it's all fine, or, you know, even worse, dig their fucking heels down and pretend Tim did nothing wrong.
Right. It's not like I'm not already feeling like a fucking alien who doesn't belong here. And then I just see how the majority of the metal listening human race acts when they're provided with this information and they just don't care.
I'm sometimes jealous because of it, just to be that disconnected or to not have a shred of empathy.
Oh, sure. We'll get
to go about your life.
We'll get into more of that later. Absolutely. But so Tim Lambesis himself has posted the greatest photograph of the year on his very own Twitter account of him just, and this is a bonfire mishap, but it looks like this guy must have just like stop, dropped, and rolled on the bonfire, every corner of it, made sure he got all his best features just absolutely incinerated.
He tried to put it out with his flesh.
Yeah.
So I saw a bonfire accident and 25% of his body burned. I was like, how the fuck did you accomplish that? Like, I don't know if you've ever set a fire before. Like, that seems like it's pretty hard to do, right? Well
he helpfully gave us a description of how this happened.
Oh, thank God.
His Instagram post, which has over 10,000 likes, by the way. I'm going to assume at least a couple thousand are not positive likes.
I am now the 10,000th and 100th like that happened with me. So.
So he says, keep your head up no matter what. I'm doing the best I can to make a hold on, did he misspell thumps? Yes, he did. Okay.
Thumps.
Keep your head up no matter what. I mean, to be fair, his thumps are probably burnt. keep your head up no matter what. I'm doing the best I can to make a thumps up on my way to surgery in about 30 minutes. And I just want to point out, if for people who don't want to actually see this picture, he's in the hospital, covered up in cast. No mask on, by the way. That's got to be good hospital protocol right there. But anyway, he continues, I apologize to my friends, I have not had the time to fill in yet on what happened. The entire gas cap fell off when trying to use a little from the trickle tip to get a bonfire started. Gas got all over my clothes and I ended up burning 25% of my body. I've been in the hospital since Saturday night and I'll be here for a couple more weeks most likely. Today's surgery is to remove the remaining dead skin that we were unable to scrub off during dressing changes this week. It will be for the best so that we won't have to scrub so hard during dressing changes, and that is a big relief for me. I am extremely thankful for the burn center workers who are taking care of me. I will try to update on my recovery. It will be a long road, but I'll get back to full strength eventually.
So let's rewind. gasoline.
That's that conducive fluid for lighting an even fire.
Right.
Gasoline.
Right.
I mean, like, this is Cub Scout shit, right? I learned this when I was about 7 years old, that you would never use gasoline to start a fire because gasoline doesn't burn, it explodes.
And there's fumes all around once you open the damn thing. It could just, like, actually light up the air whenever you use gasoline. So it's just, wow. I can't imagine how much of it he poured on the fire and how much of it he drank. I just don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, how fucked up was this moron when he was trying to start a fire with gasoline?
Through the darkest nights. He followed up with another Instagram post, which has less likes on it, I wonder why. The recovery from these burns has been the most painful experience of my life, but I'm told I will eventually have a full recovery. I have to remember that on the tough days and be grateful I have the chance to be back to doing what I love again soon, because that is not the case for everyone in the burn center.
I wish that he could swap places with literally anybody else in that burn center.
The most painful experience of his life.
That's good. I mean, that does give me at least some kind of grim satisfaction. Folks out there, I assume that if you've made it this far in your life, you've never tried to start a fire with gasoline. So let's keep it that way.
I mean, I've never made a bonfire in my life, and even I know not to use gasoline. I've seen enough Fail Army. I've seen enough YouTube clips to know bad things happen when you use it.
It's not like there's a dearth of accelerants out there. You know, you can use some kerosene. That's fine. That works.
Old
okay.
Newspapers.
Yeah, that works too. Depending on, you know, how dry your kindling is. You know, we don't need to get into outdoorsman 101 shit on here. Just don't blow yourself up with gasoline. I think that would be ideal. Unless you're Tim Limbius, in which case you go, you know, more power to you, buddy.
Yeah, go right ahead. I think the news story in and of itself is the cautionary tale that you need. Oh my God, I'm just reading some of the fucking comments of these just absolute sycophants underneath Tim Limbesis. We got this clown, Vitaly Shostin Photography. Being a huge fan since Frail Words Collapse, your music has changed my life and guided through the darkest times. After all the stuff happened to you last decade, you have been the most inspiring example of the man who really drastically changed his life. I was lucky enough. Stuff.
You went from being a skinny Christian into a roided out attempted wife murderer.
I was lucky enough to fly 2,000 miles just for one evening in Poland to see you live. God, and it was life changing. I want to express a huge gratitude to you, your music, and your example. Please, Tim, stay healthy and wish you fastest recovery. This world needs you. Prayer hand signs emoji.
There really is a total dearth of role models for young men in this world. If Tim Lambesis is the guy that, like, taught you what it means to grow up.
He taught us how to love again.
Yeah. God damn, that is something else. Well, let's not dwell on that too much.
Well, I do have to ask you, are you still looking at it, Brenna?
Yes.
Did Tim Lambesis give that a like? Can you tell?
He commented on it.
Okay, so the guy got what he wanted. He got that little crumb of Lambesis love.
Yeah, he says, thank you so much for sharing that. It means a lot to me. Prayer hand sign emoji back.
I guess I couldn't do a thumbs up emoji, huh?
Maybe this is just, you know, projecting or whatever, but I have to figure the first thought that went through Tim's mind was like, no, not my thousands of dollars of tattoo work.
This just means he can get more on his new skin.
I don't know that you can or should.
Well, we all know there's a lot of things he shouldn't do that he's done anyway.
Yep. Well, I'm looking forward to that. He's going to have fully blacked out sleeves or something, like one of those guys that used to have problematic tattoos and is trying to trying to pull one over.
One more comment and we'll move on. Ty Breezy says to Tim Lambesis, to quote the situation, the comeback is always greater than the setback. And Tim Lambesa says, I love that quote.
That would that be the fucker from Jersey Shore?
I gotta assume that's Mike the Situation. Yeah, the comeback is, oh man. Yeah. So like I just assume that Tim Lambesa has like a photograph of Mike the Situation above his bed there, and it just says that quote, the comeback is always greater than the setback. Setbacks being, you know, trying to get your wife murdered and ending up in prison instead, and then setting your dumb ass on fire with gasoline.
Who among us has not, you know, tried to hire an FBI informant to murder our wives, you know? Like, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. That's what they say in the Bible. Well,
yeah, but I'm going to still throw a rock even though I jerked off too much. It's just...
Tim Lambesa is currently in excruciating pain, so the year, not a total loss. So there we go. There's your bright spot for the year, folks.
Almost worth it.
We got other things that happened this year. Jordan, what's the next hot button issue?
I know we said we were going to stop talking about Tommy Vexed and Bad Wolves, but they just can't help themselves.
Yeah, we can't promise anything. We're not perfect either.
I alluded to this a couple of weeks ago. I was like, we'll never have to talk about him again. Well, we won't have to if this whole thing kind of works itself out the way that I think it should. But now that I say it out loud, no, it definitely will not.
So just in like the past couple of weeks, this news came out that he was accused of domestic violence by his ex-girlfriend. And a bunch of metal and music websites that cover this more in detail, and it's fairly extensive. I know, like, Metal Sucks was able to get their hands on, like, a summary of the court proceeding. So, I mean, you can go there and read all of it. But the end of the story is that he's been handed down a two-year, not sentence, but I guess a restraining order.
Yeah.
By his ex-girlfriend to keep him away, which they don't really hand out for no reason.
They really don't. If you don't have any experience in this realm, like, it's not just like you can make a complaint, it happens. There's like that. It's a huge, awful process.
And throughout these proceedings and these news stories, Tommy Vexed has said that, like, this is fake news. And he went on something called the Tin Foil Show, and literally wore a tin foil hat. You can see a picture of this on the PRP.com. It's quite stunning that someone would actually do this to while trying to defend themselves and accusing his ex-girlfriend of trying to extort him.
Yeah, it is just kind of interesting. Like, these are serious accusations. There's, you know, there's the law involved, and this motherfucker's making a big joke wearing a tinfoil hat and just hashtagging fake news like some cheeky MAGA dipshit. And it's, I know that he's fully pivoted into, you know, the whole MAGA dome that we had predicted a while back. That shit's not gonna last forever. it was a serious career gamble that he's still fully leaning into, as, you know, actual serious minded judges are not amused by this shit.
And of course, he, you know, while saying like it's fake news, he also like rails on cancel culture as part of it. And it's just the grab bag of the same things all these types of people say all the time. It's always PC culture, cancel culture, SJWs, I'm an alpha male, et cetera, et cetera.
It might as well be an admission of guilt at this point when you just try to throw up those smoke screens around yourself. You're just like, I don't know, there could be a pile of evidence in front of everybody, and I just be like, oh, cancel culture, deep fakes, fake news, social justice warriors. Does anybody believe me?
Character assassination.
Ipso facto.
Yeah.
The court of public opinion.
Ad hominem. Real brain dead shit. So he had like charges levied against him, right?
I don't exactly know. Like, I don't want to read all these details, stuff like this.
Well, I'm pretty sure he had a civil judgment levied against him. So, you know, that's not criminal, because the bar for having criminal judgment against you in domestic situation is incredibly high. And civil, it's not as much. So, they cleared that bar at least. So he has had some kind of judgment levied against him in that case. So essentially, you know, this happened. The judge found it credible, and he is railing against it like, well, sure, that happened, but it's cancel culture to talk about it.
Yeah,
he claims he was exonerated, but don't you have to be charged and then have it to be dismissed?
That's correct. That is how exoneration works. Yes. So there is nothing to be exonerated from. So I guess he knows that, but he's lying anyway.
Let me just let me read some of these highlights, because there's a lot to go through, but I'll just read some of the things I'm just kind of.
There's a lot. I mean, here, when you say there's a lot, there is a lot.
There's a lot.
This guy likes to talk.
Yeah. But Johns is the last name of the girlfriend, and Vexed, of course, is the last name of the idiot. So on January 1st, 2020, okay, Johns alleges that Vexed struck her in the face hard enough that she cut the inside of her lip and her nose, and her lips were bleeding profusely. She claims that Vexed then took her to her home. He refused to leave her residence, then choked her as he verbally threatened to kill her. John's lips were swollen and bruised for the next 3 days, and she was forced to cancel all client meetings as a result. Then again, on January 14th, he hit her. February 29th, John's claims that as she was preparing for a photo shoot, she got into an argument with Vexed, during which the singer threw water on her face twice. When she instinctively scratched Vexed in self-defense, he became angrier and tackled her to the ground, put his hands around her neck, and choked her while slamming her head into the ground for 10 to 15 seconds, nearly rendering her unconscious. Subsequently, Johns went to stay with her mother in Utah, as she feared for her life and missed a week's worth of work appointments as a result. This, according to Johns, marked the end of her romantic relationship with Vexed. So, yeah, really, really stand up, cool guy. Definitely worth overlooking to still listen to. Very still good music, right?
Yeah, it's. I mean, this whole alpha mindset shit that he's been selling for a while is an influencer type. Like, seems kind of like all of these dudes in the process of becoming the lone wolf, ultimate warrior, whatever. They beat the shit out of women in the process. I can't put it together. Like, the other one that comes to mind, tried to make an influencer role out of basically being a fucking creep, like Cernovich, you know, that fucker?
Mm-hmm.
Like, also just incredibly violent to women, likely also raped a woman. Well, actually did, according to court records. So that whole segment, it used to be called like the Manosphere or whatever, that just kind of all evolved into a gelatinous blob of MAGA. These guys are just, I mean, they're total shitbags, and they seem to be happy to do this because they have a banner to rally around with it. I mean, Trump lost, like, so that's no longer the dominant force, I guess, in culture. I don't know where you go from there. It seems like your fig leaf is totally gone and you're just a shitbag now.
You just start following Tim Allen. Just marching behind him, making grunting noises and going, men, 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 men. And Vexed has a history of violence towards women. Yeah. There's the story that came out, about 12 years ago, where he physically assaulted Dino Cazares' wife, Jennifer.
Yeah, that was the end of, what band were they in?
Divine Heresy.
That's right. So yeah, this is not like an isolated incident with this dude. And I think incredibly ironic that this guy made such a big deal out of like publicly burying his brother, like for, you know, assaulting him. His brother's like, you know, in jail for the like rest of his life, essentially. And being like, oh, you know, my brother's a real shitbag. He couldn't get his life together, not like me.
Well, I mean, how can you get your life together when you're actually dead?
Fair. Yeah, he gets a mulligan because he's dead.
On all of these things, really. I mean, it's got to be.
Can't charge a dead man.
Yeah. There's no ghost law.
There's no rule that says a dog can't play basketball.
Yeah, not in our dimension, anyway.
So I'm hoping that, you know, his actions here and how this is getting publicly revealed is going to put an end to this shit like it did with Divine Heresy. He's going to find himself in, you know, no man's land again. And I hope that happens. I don't know if culture has shifted so much in time since that he's just going to look at what everybody else did and carry on like nothing happened.
If the past 4 years have taught us anything, scandals don't matter anymore.
Yeah,
I'm real curious to hear Doc Coyle weigh in on this one.
One of my favorite, I'm sorry, one of my favorite quotes from the Tin Foil Hat show that Tommy Vex shared was, he says, quote, "I mean, the things that I'm accused of is like, you know, it's like attempted murder shit, like beating and strangulation," Vex recently told the Tin Foil Hat show. "Things like that, you know, I'm 260, I'm 6'1". Like, if you're a guy and I did this to you, you'd die." So Tommy Vex just wants everyone to know that, you know, he's tough enough to easily kill a woman. And there's no way that he couldn't have done that.
What a bizarre way of defending your character.
"I'm so strong and manly. There's no way I could have done this."
"I'm so strong and manly that if I beat a woman, she'd be killed. So there's no way I actually did it."
Yeah, I gotta say, not a legal professional, but I don't think I would advise a client to to go with that line of defense.
It's like those people trying to say you have to prove there's no election fraud. Like, oh, I don't believe it unless you prove that it didn't happen. You can't prove a negative.
"I don't need to rape a woman. I'm too sexy."
That's it. That's the same fucking thing, man. It's the exact same thing. He's just such a bizarre caricature that, like, you can predict the next thing coming, I guess.
What a shock he's been kicked out of every band he's been in.
Yeah. But, as we were saying a second ago, has Doc Coyle weighed in?
I don't believe so, and this can go one of two ways. They could go the ministry route and just never address it and wait 6 months, or they kick him out. And if they haven't done it yet, you know, as each day passes, I think it gets a little bit less likely to happen. Only if they lose money, I think, will they get rid of him. And I don't know, how much money does Bad Wolves make? They've been putting out covers like over the past year that have diminishing returns. So what else is there left? Like, other than just full on 100% hopping on the Five Finger Death Punch train, which they're pretty much already on at this point anyway.
Yeah, I would say that they were on, you know, not quite equal footing, because, you know, Five Finger Death Punch is the number one heavyweight there, even though that they're much smaller than Tommy Vex, and that must bother him a lot.
You could kill Ivan Moody with one punch.
Just very easily, being 260 and 6'1", I would very easily kill Ivan Moody, who is definitely 5'1" and 160. But, I mean, let's put this into perspective. I thought that As They Lay Dying fans at least would be a bunch of, skinny, sensitive emo kids with Christian values, and they would not be really cool with what happened with Tim Lambesis, and we saw what happened there. So you got to consider who the fan base is for a band like Bad Wolves being in line with Five Finger Death Punch and everything else on the radio. So I think they're going to be just fine.
I tweeted a dumb thing months ago. I was
Did
like,
you?
Yeah. Unbelievable, right? And I was just like, I've been a huge fan of Bad Wolf since the beginning. And seeing Tommy Vext come out as a Trump supporter is very disappointing to me. And I don't know if I can listen to their brand of aggressive yet sensitive rock and roll through the same eyes again, or the same ears again, or whatever. And like a bunch of randos, like a bunch of Bad Wolves fans were like in support of that statement. So I don't know. I guess there is a contingent of their fan base that might have had enough of this foolishness.
It all comes down to money. It's the bottom line. If the band loses money, then maybe Doc Coyle will get rid of him, or they'll just break up and start their own thing and then get back together again in a few years when they need to make more money. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, if it doesn't affect them, they're not playing shows anyway, so it's not like venues are not going to allow them for this.
Right.
You know, just the passage of time will heal all wounds, and they'll get back to going zomber.
Yeah, precisely the exact amount of time that this would take to totally blow over in society's eyes would be the amount of time it would take for them to get back on stage anyway.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, then I really do never want to hear from Doc Coyle again.
I mean, don't we all anyway.
Yep. So yeah, there's that. We'll see if it's the end of the Bad Wolves. It's certainly not the end of Tommy Vext. He is going to, he's going to double and triple and quadruple down on this. It'll be a recurring issue. I assume that he, because he's, you know, fully pivoted on being some kind of public figure, motivational type, that, you know, he'll record either a video series or perhaps write a book about how he was canceled. So you can look forward to that. Again, diminishing returns from all of this. If you're not the first, you're the last. It's going to be overall disappointing for everyone involved.
I'm sure that the podcast tour will continue. I don't think he's going to get quite to Joe Rogan levels, but we're going to see more tinfoil hat shows and the like.
Yeah, I guess it's one of those things you never pause to consider, but like all of the C and D tier podcasts that are like trying to rip on Alex Jones or whatever. Pathetic. Real pathetic. So I'm looking forward to whatever the Z tier is that he ends up doing soon.
Right. There's no
shortage of aggrieved middle-aged men with an internet connection and a microphone. Hi, everyone. But I would even predict that he would start his own podcast soon, you know, following the footsteps of such legends as Todd Jones of Nails and Michael Graves of formerly the Misfits.
Yeah. So if he's following in their footsteps, that means that he's going to quit after 7 shows, right?
Exactly.
They're just going to sit on some blog spot somewhere for the end of time.
I do love that every time I see a big podcast announced with some famous figure, like there's a 70% shot that they're done in less than 10 episodes. They don't have the gumption nor the wherewithal to make it to 283 episodes.
Right. You guys just underappreciate our grit.
Our passion.
Because this shit is really fucking easy. Oh my god, this is the easiest thing in the world. You just talk into a microphone. How could you not do 700 episodes of it?
It's just because Michael Graves just has such a busy schedule.
Yeah, that's true. He's got a lot going on. He's he's a proud boy now, so he has to travel across the country to punch old women in the face and in front of cops and then walk away totally unscathed.
Now there are plenty of wrongdoings on both sides. Cops are arresting everybody.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
Definitely. No. Not giving thumbs up underneath their batons and shields. Oh, Jesus. Well, I did we have anything else maybe happen earlier in the year that we missed, or did we pretty much get it all? I mean, it was a small net we had to cast in terms of news.
Do you want to get inside baseball for a minute?
Sure.
I figure our listeners love inside baseball.
It's just the best part of the show.
We're pulling back the curtain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Behind the magic of metal blogging.
VH1's behind the podcast.
You have to wear a mask when you do this so you don't reveal your identity like the magician on like Behind the Secrets or whatever. Yeah, let's talk about fucking other metal blogs.
Beyond the Mat. I mean, geez. Yeah, it's Loudwire is our usual favorite punching bag, and considering how happy they are to publish Tommy Vex defense of himself, with like big bold letters that they're going to stay that way. But that's not what we're talking about this week, I guess.
No, and I mean, we do continually have grievances with Loudwire.
Yeah, Jordan, do you want to detail our latest grievance? Since, you know, this is the season for airing of grievances.
Well, we'll keep this one brief so we can get into the juicy one, but I don't want to deny Jordan an airing of a grievance.
Because this specifically affects me, I put out an article on Toilet of Hell on December 24th that, for people that either just listen and don't read the website, and I just haven't done one of these in a while, there's an ongoing series called Shirt Stains where I just find really bad merchandise from bands and just kind of poke fun at it. Sometimes to the point where the band gets really mad and posts about it on their Facebook page. Thanks, Origin.
No.
Yes. But in this case, it was just a ridiculous bootleg I found on Amazon. I think I was looking around this past summer for bootleg masks that are being made and being sold on Amazon, and eventually I'll get to that because there's some really funny ones where it's like the Cannibal Corpse, like, was it Eaten Back to Life cover, but because it's all stretched out and digital, you don't get the whole thing, and it's just very awkward and funny looking. And I found this Morbid Angel shirt that is just a patchwork of their album covers repeating over and over again, but like on someone's torso. And it just looks absolutely hideous. But the weird thing about this is that there's text on it that it's a little cut off, but it says Morbid Angel albums ranked. And just like, how does that end up on a shirt? Like, usually it's just the album cover and it's blown up or, you know, something goofy like that. But this was specifically taken somewhere. So in doing a little bit of research, I found out that this bootleg shirt had taken the cover image from a Loudwire article from 2017 that was Morbid Angel albums ranked. And it just somehow ended up on Amazon being sold for $23. And we posted this article. We posted this article, had a laugh about it. And then an hour later, Loudwire tweeted out, "Can anyone explain why someone took the main image from one of our articles and made this terrible Morbid Angel bootleg shirt? And then posted a link not to the article I posted, but to their own article from 2017, and then a screenshot of the picture of the shirt from Amazon."
Yeah, just
so it was more effort to do that, to deny you due for the article that you worked on and published on fucking Christmas Eve of all days.
You could have just hit the retweet button.
Yep. Yep. Well, I suppose I'm going to put this one on myself. I have really probably rubbed Loudwire the wrong way over the years. the most inessential blog out of all of them, which is really saying something.
aren't they part of Warner Time or something? Like they're like an AOL funded blog. Like they're just so not underground and they're so not your typical kind of metal blog. Like they're just like a major outlet kind of a thing.
I mean, Loudwire is it's the equivalent of you know, your metal news source for somebody that has Yahoo News as their homepage.
Oh my god, I couldn't put it better than myself, man.
They're owned by something called Town Square Media, which is an American radio network and media company based in New York, and they have, you know, a number of different websites and companies. The Madison Square Garden company owns 12% of them. So they're they're not us. They're not even like a Metal Sucks or Metal Injection. They're not just men and women who like this sort of thing and just kind of write about what they feel like. They're a business. They're under the same model, like XXL Magazine is under this umbrella, Noise Creep, Loudwire, a couple of other things. I think they also own radio stations. Like, this isn't some fly-by-night, we're just having fun group.
So are you telling me that James Dolan has a stake in Loudwire?
Blues Daddy James Dolan.
JD and the Straight Shot.
Hated by literally everyone.
Jesus, Loudwire, you just got gate-kept, bro.
That's incredible. I had no idea. But I will never forget this factoid now.
And then, you know, it's not like I lost money on this or, you know, anything important. It's just frustrating. Like, it costs you nothing to hit the retweet button. Or if you wanted to post your own thing, why not just include a link to where you found it? Don't just be like, oh, well, look at this thing that I found. It's amazing. Someone else did the work. Someone else found it. Just do the slightest bit of effort and not be fucking bastards.
Yeah, fucking Grand Theft Internet, bro.
Well, I think that, like, you know, we do all this shit because we want to. I mean, we're not after a profit. We're not seeking revenue of any kind. We don't have goals to reach with page views.
Nope.
And that, you know, that means that the way that we handle the internet is very different from how others handle it. And I think that that actually ties pretty well into the larger beef that we have with another outlet.
Before we move on to that outlet, can I just read the one good response to Loudwire's tweet about this?
Yes.
From Chris C. Thanks, Chris. You guys ever spend any time reading your own website? With all the spam, clickbait, and pop-ups, that shirt looks exactly like your website.
Chrissy got their ass.
I'm on their website right now, and it is a travesty.
I just need to know what David Draymond's up to in 2020. That's important.
Yeah, I honestly don't know where else I would go to get chicken foot updates. I got two chicken foot references on this show. I'm going to get a third one in before we close it. All right. This is the one that popped up during the holidays. Got everybody all hot and bothered, except for me. I'm totally unbothered. Nothing can bother me.
Right. Just cool as a cucumber over there.
Exactly. I am fucking floating above the internet like Dr. Manhattan.
Just blue cock hanging out in the wind.
Exactly. Massive. Just a massive hog that's blue.
I'm tired of the noise of their lives.
Talking about another outlet that, you know, we don't really ever talk about.
Why would we? We don't talk about the Chariot in 2020 or what A Day to Remember is up to.
Yeah. There's probably like one person listening that's really into the Chariot and really pissed off at you.
What? Chariot's not.
What's
cool.
It like being 26 with a bad mustache?
I'm 33 with a bad mustache. Thank you. All right, Lamb Goat. So they decided that the other day during the holiday season that they would debut a brand new track, the first in 4 years from Vector. Vector, if you will recall, is a band that we talked about quite a bit a while back and have not since. What happened there? Can we get a top-level view?
The main guy from Vector beat his wife.
Yep. There's video evidence. His wife talked about it at length, how he is a bad drunk and abusive and all kinds of ways, and, you know, quietly, the other members of the band, I take that back, the other members of the band left, they made a statement and left, and then quietly clawed right back to where they were. And Vector's a band again, they're a functioning unit, they're releasing new material, and, you know, it's like nothing ever happened, right?
The world just couldn't function without new Vector.
You know, a lot of people were into Vector in you know, the years in the past. That was a band that regularly hit best of lists. You would regularly see those T-shirts and backpacks when you went to shows. Not a small band within the you know, fairly underground community, I guess. So they're back. Lamb Goat went ahead and published their new music. You know, and the response to this was not, I guess, what their social media guy was looking for, because he had a tough day of this one.
I would assume the social media guy is the same person who runs Lamb Goat.
I would as well. You know, we're not there is a real person behind this account. This is not some faceless intern, like say with Loudwire.
I'm the faceless intern of Toilet of Hell, by the way. It's me.
It's actually Jordan. Jordan's
very much Jordan. It's so much Jordan.
I think sometimes people talk to you, Jordan, like they're me, and I just I
don't 100%.
I'm not getting that message, guys. So please don't direct your ire at Jordan behind the Toilet of Hell at
poor Jordan.
We don't get that much ire, really.
That's good. I've really changed my ways.
I mean, let's be real. Twitter has changed its ways, and you just know the rules, and you don't want to get banned.
That's true. Yeah. Also, I think that, you know, my identity has been totally compromised. people have figured out that my name's not actually Thrash and Kill. our boy from Future Scene, he responded to Lambgate on Twitter with us. So do you guys want to clarify why they were on her hiatus or...
right, because in the article, it's just, band was on hiatus.
Yeah, like a website like the PRP, whenever they post something about Tim Lambesis, for example, will always mention about him being arrested. Like, it's included in every article.
Right.
So it's not that hard to do.
It's that bottom paragraph at the end. You know, it's just... It's
copy and paste.
Always there. It's got to be there.
Yeah, I mean, you surely have, like, a notepad open on your desktop when you have to cover these stories. These are the paragraphs that you paste in. Allegedly may have attempted murder. nothing covered on this particular debut piece by Lambgoat. Lambgoat, bro, was pretty incensed by this, responding that, you know, we have covered it. by which she means that they have covered it in the past. It was not necessarily worthy of being included on this debut piece. After all, the focus of the piece is on brand new music. Why should we have to get into the whole spousal abuse thing?
Yeah. Course, yeah.
Quit living in the past. Live in the now.
Come on, you know, it's like that's a timeline you're never gonna relive. You're never gonna have to deal with that again, right? It's all about the new jams, them riffs.
You gotta have new riffs. It is the grist upon which this mill runs. So you know, Trevor's like, I would simply not provide coverage for this band. Which is fair. And the Lambgoat responded with the real, I think the most salient thing I've ever read in metal media. And it's worth committing this to memory and revisiting it from time to time. Nah, if we stopped covering bands with shitty dudes in them, we wouldn't have many bands to cover. People can decide for themselves whom they want to support. And I think it really gets to a thing I think about a lot in a choice little nugget. He gets to it quicker than I think it's taken me 6 years to get to. what do you make of this statement? What do you guys think?
Saying the loud part or the quiet part loud.
Right.
I mean, that's all it boils down to is I need my money. Money good. Give me money now. I don't care who gets caught in the crossfire. I am just telling you these things so we get clicks and advertising money.
Here is my ass. I am showing it. I've been showing it for several decades, and I'm proud of my ass to be shown the way it is shown.
Yeah, most of the time when you show your ass, it's kind of an accidental thing. It isn't like the most coherent thought you've ever put out in your life.
Right. You don't just spread the cheeks in front of everybody, you know?
Yeah. So it's a poetic ass showing. I really respect it. And this gets back to what I was saying earlier, that this is about your motivations. And this is about how your outlet is formed from the outset and what you want to accomplish. You know, at the beginning, we put this thing together, you know, an entirely volunteer force, negative dollars coming in, hundreds of negative dollars, constantly negative dollars, because this is a thing that we wanted to do, that, you know, we thought that we could provide things that people would want to read within this particular scene, maybe in ways that aren't getting covered, maybe in ways that, you know, we feel a need to put out there with our own views. And, you know, the lineup has changed constantly. It's been an evolving thing, but it's always been, money is not even a thought here, because that's, I don't care about money. I don't care about page views. I don't really care about clout. I do this out of some weird compulsion.
And fun. We have fun.
Yeah. I mean, really, that's the primary thing for me. I wouldn't do it if it wasn't fun. But that's not the case. And, you know, when we went into market, you know, a lot of the other outlets out there, like they've folded shop, you know, they're just, it's not the same crew anymore. And there's been a consolidation where, you know, the money blogs have, you know, stayed at it, gotten bigger. And, you know, there have been new faces that have popped up in the last several years that are kind of doing a similar thing that we do, where it's, you know, money is not the primary motivation. You do it because you want to. I think that these essentially fan sites are essential, because otherwise all you have is coverage of Five Finger Death Punch, coverage of As I Lay Dying, coverage of Vector. It's not very exciting to me. It's not very fun. Nobody in those spaces is going to take the time to cover a band that will sell maybe a total of 15 digital downloads on Bandcamp. It's not worth it to them, but it's worth it to us, because it, you know, it grooved us in some way. We want people to hear it. You know, it's important that we have those voices and those bands and everything out there getting some kind of coverage, being shared with a larger audience. It makes no sense from any kind of business perspective, but there's a compulsion to do it, right?
Well, I mean, even as far as like a business perspective, monetizing a metal blog in 2020 is just, it's just a bad move. It's like a bad idea for a career choice. Even the biggest blogs right now are struggling greatly, as you can just see with the way they put out their articles. But I mean, like, as far as the smaller guy covering the smaller guy, there's plenty out there. We always got something to talk about in regards to album reviews, things that people are doing in the scene that maybe flies under the radar of some of these other major outlets. Whereas the major outlets only cover the major touring acts that don't have a single fucking thing to do right now. So I think that a lot of the underground places are flourishing in a way that some of these bigger guys just aren't. And I mean, not to mention, I mean, we have a great sense of community. We have the same bunch of guys every time just checking stuff out for us. There's just like a baked in audience right there. Every time you guys share an album or a band, those same guys are going to check it out, because there's that kind of baked in respect for one another. We're friends to a degree. I relish all the comments we get in this comment section whenever there's some wayward soul that comes in and says some dumb thing out of their mouth. Everybody piles on in this really fun way. So,
man, and on the same kind of way, like when we published some lists last week, like our best albums of the year, I saw a guy like comment to me about something, and then like all of these people popped out of the ether to say like, hey, you're new here, welcome.
Right, because it's an open comment section, but it's almost like you wouldn't know it. It's almost like a web forum with just how we just have these regular customers. And I don't think you get that with some of these other big blogs. You just get the passing asshole.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, it's just entirely different motivation factors, right? So when we talk all the time about how there is no new big metal band, right? And I think that it's these older gatekeepers, essentially the monetized coverage, that really reinforces that, where you only have a set number of bands that you can cover because you can only rely on them to get you a certain number of clicks, which you have for your revenue goals, for your click goals, for, you know, your programmatic ad impression volumes that you have to hit to keep the lights on, essentially. And it's a vicious cycle where you have to keep covering bands like fucking As I Lay Dying.
Marilyn Manson is another one that gets brought up all the time.
Oh, Corey, yeah. Motherfucking Taylor.
Corey motherfucking Taylor, killer, exactly. And I mean, what's also, I definitely get the irony that on the site we never cover this shit. It's just on this show because I like drama. I'm a messy bitch and I love drama. Let me make that clear.
So, not to lose the narrative here too much. I mean, the Lamb Goat got kind of piled on in terms of Twitter. Like, really, pretty much everybody disagreed with his move, save for a few sycophants here and there. You're always going to get that when you have like 26,000 followers. Not as many as you think, but most people majorly gave this guy a ton of shit. And man, he just flailed and flailed and flailed. He just would not back down. He was just so sure that what he did was the right thing. And there's like there's more great comments. I mean, aside from what you already said about bands with shitty dudes in them, he also said covering shitty bands for ad revenue has been our business model for 20 years. Block us and cleanse yourself.
20 years. Really?
20 years. 20 years.
Just, man, that mansion must have another level on it every year.
I'm sure his rent goes up and his revenue goes down, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those statements that, you know, runs through your mind at 1 a.m. after you've been drinking. 20 years covering shitty bands. That's been my business model. That's what I've done with my life. This is my legacy.
And there's one thing I've seen him do multiple times, which is whenever anyone calls him out for this, because it's not the first time he's done this. He kind of always does this because he's one of those guys that really relishes in the fact that he doesn't care who he covers. He'll always try to dig as deep as he can until he finds out specifically that you wrote an article about Mayhem somewhere. It's like, really? Mayhem being this like major, huge cultural force that was just this really interesting true crime situation in the 90s that just about everybody has written an article for. And he it's his like go to whataboutism. If you covered Mayhem, then you're homophobic and you support murderers. So how am I worse? Kind of a thing.
He's just hiding in the bushes outside the Total Hell VIP room waiting to scream, gotcha, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. It's everything. There's really no evaluation on what he did. And like this hilarious back and forth between him and DC Heavy Metal, which I think is another blog that is, I mean, they're not huge. They are a .com, but man, I'm not going to read it. I don't think, cause it's just so, so much bashing your head against a brick wall that you could stand in one sitting.
And all of this could have been avoided if you just had not responded to anyone tweeting at him about the initial story.
Yeah, or you could take the coward's way and close comments. there were options here. Didn't have to do this. But I really appreciate the clarification. And it's enlightening. It really is. And I, even though, you know, basically we've been doing this for fun and we'll never see any kind of significant revenue in any way for our efforts, I feel better about it.
Sign up to Patreon.
Yeah, we got a bonus episode coming for you here in the next couple of days. I haven't decided what that's going to be. I've read some books, I've seen some movies, all metal related, of course, and we'll get to one of them. I think that how much time we have left on the show?
We are just about out of time. Okay. Is there anything else we want to cover this week? Or
let's do this very quickly. Let's do predictions for the new year. You know, this is the last show of 2020. We can expect big things coming, I assume. So I wanted to go around the table and see if maybe you guys had a prediction for something that will definitely happen in 2021.
Well, I think the last time I was successful at this, I said that Slayer was going to break up.
Yeah.
And that Death Heaven was going to clean sing.
They got a mulligan for 2020, though.
Well,
it was easier for them to stay broken up.
Well, no, it was, I mean, it was the, I think it was probably 2018, because their 2019 was their final tour, right? That was the big thing. Or maybe just like years are just fusing together for me, and time is just cyclical, and I can't recall anything. But that was one that I got. I also got that Death Heaven would Cleed sing. Thank you. Thank you. I got that one. But this year, I mean, this is going to be the toughest year of all. I think that there's going to be some kind of drama with some specific bands that have like a super spreader outbreak issue with one of their shows the moment that shows are allowed to happen again.
I mean, that's even money on that one. I believe that Steel Panther held a super spreader event, and I'm not talking about hepatitis, folks.
Multiple events with Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Chris COVID. Jericho loves spreading the plague. It's his favorite thing. Well, no, I take that back. Irish car bombs are his favorite thing, but spreading the plague is a close second.
But I think that once the restrictions come off of live shows, I don't think there's going to be that caution. I think that bands are just going to get right back to it, because I know it feels necessary for a lot of them given their career choice. And we're going to see like a lot of news articles coming out band after band after band. And that's going to be the stuff that gets clicks. That's going to be the stuff we're going to be seeing all in 2021 is how, oh, you know, 848 people got coronavirus at this one ghost show, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. That's a fair prediction. I can see that one happening. Jordan, do you have one?
I've got three real quick that I'll do.
Holy shit.
We're in 2021, we're going to see a bunch of more supergroups being formed, putting out albums that are really mediocre and then disappearing forever.
The Bread Bakers.
The Chickenfoots.
See, you got three in. You're welcome.
I nailed it.
Kind of building on what Brenda was saying, I think a bunch of metal bands are going to go on tour in Europe in the springtime, and those are maybe not necessarily going to be super spreader events, but a bunch of these bands are going to get sick moving around and playing the same venues and coughing on each other. So we'll kind of see tours start and then have to abruptly end. Like, shows will be canceled, things will be moved around, and then finally we'll be like, well, six members and three bands are sick now, so I guess we have to stop, and you know, we've wasted thousands of dollars traveling to get over here. And the third thing is that you're going to see a lot of corporate venues being opened, kind of like House of Blues isn't like owned by some sort of company. You're going to start seeing a lot more of that. You know, take any massive corporation you want. You'll start seeing, you know, Amazon, House of Blues. You'll start seeing AT&T venues, things like that. And the little local places are going to disappear a lot quicker than expected.
Yeah, already in Austin, with the exception of one, they are still holding on because they do regular fundraisers and they have a very, very dedicated audience. They're closing up shop. Places have been around forever. They're gone. They're empty right now. They're going to be replaced with something that will charge probably minimums of like $25 per entry. It's going to be fucking awful. And I'm actually predicting like a new wave of like pay to play with these corporate venues.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, there was news coming out about how venues and show promoters and things like that were going to get like government relief and things. And I saw a lot of discourse in my kind of local metal scene Facebook page about how all of this money is going to go to exactly the wrong people. You're going to see things like Ticketmaster get millions of dollars.
Yep.
As opposed to artists or promoters who might need it.
Yep. So if you want to tour this network of venues, the only venue in town across these mid-sized cities in the country, well, I mean, you got to get on an approved list somehow. How are you going to get on that list?
I mean, we can easily say that, like, economically, the way shows worked was never right. Usually in these situations, it goes a lot worse. I hope that in some way they can kind of build from the ground up to make things better for artists, but I mean, that's not how capitalism works.
No, that absolutely not. Bands will be squeezed even further. Where, you know, and I think that in the last couple of years, it's been pretty clear that, you know, a handful of bands make 99.9% of the money and everybody else just fucking begs for scraps. That's going to continue. That's absolutely going to continue, which brings me to my prediction for 2021, a massive increase in crime among metal bands.
It's like petty crimes, just yes, news no, stories I, about I, crimes, yeah.
That's like kind of grim or whatever, but I that's going to happen as people are squeezed even further. And you don't have a legitimate way to make any kind of money. You're going to see a lot more like the dude from Rotting Out, you know, trucking major poundage of weeds. So keep that in mind and don't be judgy about it. Well, unless, you know, if it's fucking drugs or whatever, it's fine. Who cares?
Well, if we don't have anything else, I think we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you all for listening, as always. We really appreciate you guys. I meant all that stuff I said about the community things. I always look forward to the comments. I do still read them. One reason I don't comment anymore is because my Discord, not Discord, but Discourse, Discuss, it's Discuss, isn't it? My my Discuss screen name was tied to my old thatsnotmetal.com account, which has been deleted years ago. So I have to like create a whole new Discuss account. So you guys will have me coming in and making fun of the idiots that get lost in our comment section again here soon. But appreciate all you guys and thank you so much for listening. And hope that 2021 does go better legitimately. You know, I tend to have a bleak outlook on things, but I got to try to have some positivity or I won't get up tomorrow. So that's what I'm sticking with. 2021, it will be better. I can't wait to see you guys there.
I mean, the bar is set pretty fucking low. So
right.
We'll do better. Jordan, you got closing thoughts?
Happy New Year, everyone.
Hey, don't go to Times Square. Or please. If you do, let us know.
Yeah, just hit Carson Daly with a baton. All right, thank you guys. Keep it metal, and we'll see you next year.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.